This is our third message, as we've stated. Our first message 3 weeks ago, we simply titled Growing in Grace. Growing in Grace. And we looked at the meaning of growing in grace. And we find that meaning in Romans 8:29, being conformed into the image of His Son, is what it means to grow more like Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be one of our goals in the Christian life. Amen. To be more like Jesus. Amen. And so we talked about the meaning. Then we talked about some methods of growing in grace. And then we talked about the measure of growing in grace. Last week, we looked at something kind of unique, but not. We looked at growth and how growth is natural, growth is nurtured, but growth can be negated. And we looked at that church at Corinth, and Paul said to them, he said, "You're carnal, you're babies, amen. You should be eating strong meat." But you're not. You're just taking milk. And so we looked at some indicators of infancy in our lives and in the spiritual life and contrasted them with the natural life. And one indicator of infancy, the first is immaturity. Infants are immature. And all God's people said, listen, by nature they're immature. They've just been born, amen, and they're immature. And so we looked at that and how different baby talk and baby thoughts and baby things, amen. And then we looked at not only immaturity, but irresponsibility. An infant is not categorized by great responsibility, amen, because they're infants, amen. And so we looked at that, and it's summed up in the word selfishness. Show me an infant, be it physical or spiritual, and I'll show you somebody who is selfish. They don't care about others. They don't think about what others think. And so we looked at that immaturity, irresponsibility, inability. You don't expect a baby to be able to do a lot of things. Amen. We looked at 1 Corinthians 3 and that infants are unable to discern and they're unable to digest and they're really unable to do anything. Amen. That's what infants are. They're unable. So then we looked at incompatibility, and we mentioned that sometimes infants do not play well with others. Amen. And certainly that could be said. And then also lastly, we looked at the characteristic of instability. You do not expect an infant to be stable. You work on their schedule. Amen. Moms, can I get an amen? Listen, you don't, now infant, you're going to go to bed and you're going to sleep for 10 straight hours. Let me know how that works out for you. Amen. When they wake up screaming and want attention, they're unstable in their living. The Bible characterizes instability in baby Christians in believing. Talks about how we get carried about with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because we don't root ourselves in the Word of God. Amen. And so that's important at infancy. So we talked about indicators of infancy and growing in grace. Tonight I want to give you some guidelines for growth. Now, I looked this up. Oh, by the way, have you ever read a set of guidelines? Have you ever had to? Maybe at work you had to read a set of guidelines. What is a guideline? A statement, principle, or set of principles put forward to set standards or determine a course of action. Guideline. You know what I always think of when I think of guidelines? Train tracks. You know what train tracks are? They're guidelines. Amen? They keep the train on the track. By the way, we have some guidelines here. Most of you may not know this, but for a guest preacher that comes in our pulpit, you know what they get? Guidelines. Let me read you just a couple of them real quick. The Ten Commandments for those entering in the pulpit of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Number one. Use and stand for only the authorized version, the old KJV, of the Scriptures. They don't do that, they're not coming. Amen? How about this, number two? Endeavor to be filled with and preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have underneath there, we need this more than anything else. Please come to the pulpit filled up. Another one here. Conduct yourself like a gentleman while at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Listen, I don't care what they do at other churches. I just put it in here. Here at Loomis, we believe that microphone stands are for holding microphones, not kicking. Hymnals are meant for singing, not throwing. I have been in a church, I kid you not, I have been in a church where they threw the hymnals as a form of weird praise or something. And I thought just what you, I saw one, Brother Boston, they threw that thing and it absolutely exploded. And I said, man, somebody's grandmother paid for that hymnal. You know, somebody gave money. So I just put this in there. We want you to conduct yourself as a gentleman. We believe that pews are for sitting on, not standing on. Amen? We could go on and on. We need gentlemen in our pulpit. And I just put in here, we don't want sissies. Preach, my brother. But never be rude and always have class in the way you conduct yourself. Listen, these are guidelines that we have. We have some for leadership here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. If you want to lead, if you want to work in the nursery, if you want to sing in the choir, we have some standards for leadership. By the way, they're not standards for membership. You can be a member here and dress any way you want. It's the truth. I'm not going to ride members about their dress, but I will require leaders to dress a certain way. Because you're leading. You're leading people. We have it in here. Be born again. Baptized members of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Well, that'd be good for leaders, amen, if they were born again, amen. Live separated lives. This means abstaining from, and I just put a few things in here. Drinking alcohol in any form. Somebody say amen. Using tobacco. Gambling, including the lottery. Publicly attending movies. Amen. Listening to ungodly music, viewing pornography. And then I write this. This is standard. God helped us with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat therefore or you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. A couple others. Be faithful to attend all the services of Loomis Park Baptist Church. That's required for leaders. Why? It's the first requirement. It is required that a steward be found faithful. Amen. And we go on with some of these. Dress properly. Men look like godly men. Your hair should be short and combed, and jeans aren't to be worn. Listen, if you're coming off work, of course we know about that. Ladies, modest past the knee length skirts while sitting in dresses are to be worn. Immodest necklines, tight blouses are not allowed. Amen. Now, it used to be in America, in independent Baptist churches, you didn't even have to put this stuff out. Folks knew it already. But boy, we have guidelines. And we have guidelines to set a direction for leadership. That's why we have. That's why they exist. A statement or principle put forward to set standards or determine a course of action. Why? Listen, direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. If we want a church that has a high standard, amen, we got to set the standards high. Amen. By the way, the standards here haven't changed. You know, in the 1950s, people knew how to dress coming to church. And this book hasn't changed, amen? We've changed, so we're going to set the standard high, amen? Guidelines. By the way, guidelines are not a complete manual. If you want a complete manual about how to conduct yourself, go right here. This is it. This is our guide for faith and practice, amen? And so, we're going to look tonight at some guidelines for growth. They're not a complete manual, but they can help you. They can be those train tracks in your life. So, to grow and become more mature in your Christian life, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be going from infancy to adolescence to maturity, amen? It's a natural progression of growth, amen? What does it say? Number one, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Look at it, please. There's three things tonight and some subpoints. And number one, there must be forsaking. There must be forsaking. Look what it says there in chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside. That means that you need to put these things away. Put them away. Forsake them. All malice and all guile. And hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. See, the first thing that we have to put away, three things under that. First thing we have to put away is childish things. Childish things. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? He says, envying, division, strife, carnal. Babies, put them away. Childish things. I got a few childish things here in the pulpit I got from my house today. See what we have here. We have a binky. I have seen, working on a bus route, I have seen a 16-year-old kid with a binky in his mouth. And I'm going to tell you what it was. not natural. I'm going to tell you what else it was. Childish. And I would use the word again, but I'm told I'm not supposed to use it, so I would use the word idiotic, because his two front teeth stopped coming in. They stopped because he had a binky. Childish. Amen? Childish. Here we go. Corduroy bear. It's not mine, I promise. My son Luke loves corduroy bear. Do you know what? For a 22-year-old man to walk around with this under his arm, not natural. Childish. Okay? Here's another one. Now, some of you may have a great affinity towards this. You can attack me after the service. Green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am. Okay? Again, I'm not against you reading your 3-year-old green eggs and ham, but you ought to have graduated from this in your reading. It's childish. Here's a classic right here. Blanky. This one says, it says wash me, actually. It's very dirty. It says, Luke Alexander Zavodsky, October 23rd, 2009. I had to pry it out of his hand when he wasn't looking this morning. Amen? Because he walks around with it everywhere. It reminds me of the Charlie Brown Christmas. So what are you going to do with it when you get older? And he said, maybe I'll make it into a sport coat. Amen? I kind of think Lukey might do that. But you know what this is when I see this in the hand of a 33-year-old man? It's childish. I think he's holding it for his son. That's why I think that can't possibly be his. Hey, folks, if we're going to grow, we just got to forsake childish things. We got to forsake childish attitudes. We got to forsake all those indicators of infancy. You just got to put them away. And all God's people said, if you want to grow, you got to forsake childish things. Then you know what else you got to forsake? You got to forsake hindering things. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me get all this out of the pulpit. I don't want to punch corduroy while I'm preaching. Lukey might get upset. Hebrews chapter 12. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every... What's the next word, church? Wait. Okay? So we talked about childish things. How about hindering things? Hindering things, Paul here is given the illustration of running a race. Okay? And if you're going to properly run your race, you've seen runners before. I've seen them. They get stripped down to just about nothing. They wear that material that just hugs to them and those tiny shorts and those really lightweight shoes. Why? Because the idea is to get done as fast as possible. It wouldn't do them well to be carrying a 25-pound weight on their back, would it? It wouldn't improve their race any, would it? Of course not. See, weights are things that are in our lives that may of themselves not necessarily be sinful, but they're weights. I'll tell you, a lot of people, one of the biggest weights they have is how they spend their time, what they spend their time on. If sitting in front of the television, you could sit in front of the television for 5, 6, 8 hours a day, can't read your Bible for 10 minutes, I'm going to venture that's a weight in your life. That you need to forsake, amen? You just need to get rid of those things that hinder you. And again, when you get into the situation of weights, Brother Boston, what's a weight for you may not be a weight for me. It just may not. There are some people, I talked to a brother today regarding a particular issue, and it was something that didn't bother him, but it was something that bothered me. And listen, we all have individual soul liberty, I know, but listen, if we're going to run our race, if we're going to grow in grace, if we're going to have these guidelines for growth, we've got to forsake childish things, and we've got to forsake things that hinder us. Just got to. And then lastly, and also in that verse, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Not only childish things, not only hindering things, but sinful things, folks. We've just got to put that stuff away. It's part of growth. If you don't, it will dominate your life and you will not grow like God wants you to. You will become a slave to that sin. Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Just get rid of it. Amen. Why? Because you want to grow. You want to grow in grace. Amen. I want to grow in grace. I know you do too. Amen. We want to grow in grace. We've got to forsake some things. So forsaking is the first guideline for growth. Number two, back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we've hit this one in each message, so we'll not linger long here, but we'll hit it a little bit. Not only forsaking, but feeding. Feeding is a guideline for growth. Feeding. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may... What's the next word, church? Grow thereby. Grow. Listen, again, we've talked about this. Proper food equals proper growth. Amen? Proper food, proper growth. Just like 2 plus 2 equals 4. An old phrase we used to have in the aerospace world was garbage in, garbage out. And so the question there resides in regards to feeding is, what are you feeding on? See, you're always feeding on something. You're always feeding something. You're either feeding your flesh or you're feeding the spirit. And a long time ago, a preacher used the illustration of when two dogs fight, which one wins? And the answer is the stronger one, the one that's been fed. You say, Pastor, I keep living in defeat. I keep surrendering to this. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you feeding your spirit more than you're feeding your flesh? If not, there's your answer. What you need to do is starve the flesh. Amen? And I don't mean physically. Don't somebody's going to come out, I just went on a fast because Pastor said to starve. No, we're talking about the flesh on the inside. Amen? Just a couple of things. What are you feeding on in what you read? Listen, I'm absolutely amazed at the change from when I was a kid in checking out to get your groceries. Have you seen some of that filth that's there? I do my best to ignore it. I try to turn them over, amen, so people don't see them. But then the backside's worse than the front side. What are you reading? Are you reading, you know, things like Cosmo and romance novels and filth like that? Well, listen, if you're feeding on that, garbage in, garbage out. Amen? I think about that not only in reading what we read. How about what we watch? How about what we watch on the television? Listen, I'll tell you, I've seen a trend in television. I asked somebody recently, what is the last program with a moral that you can remember on nighttime TV? What's the last, a moral. It wasn't just for entertainment. It wasn't just to make, there was actually always a moral. And to be honest with you, the last one that I could come up with was about 1987. The Cosby Show. 1987, folks. That's 25 years of immorality on TV. 25 years. And I've seen this trend. This is what's on TV now. Now, I don't watch primetime TV. I just don't do it. Death. Death, 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 death. That's what's up. You take your CSI, you take your horrible Law and Orders, all these, it's all about death. Degradation is the other thing. Death, degradation, and defilement. That's what's on to, and if, listen, if you're feeding that stuff in, garbage out. What are you feeding on? Reading, watching, what are you listening to? What kind of music do you put in your ears? Do you put good, godly, precious music? Boy, I'll tell you, I am so blessed that we have Faith Music Missions as a missionary. I really am. Their music speaks to me. It's such a blessing to have that. But again, garbage in, garbage out. So you know what you need to do? You need to take all the garbage down to the incinerator, Brother Kelly. Amen. Just take it all down there. Don't feed on it anymore. And obviously, we know this, folks. Feast on this. Feast on coming to church and getting with the brethren. Feast on telling somebody about Jesus. Feast on spiritual things, amen. Feeding. Because listen, appetites determine attitude. Attitude determines action. And action determines altitude in how high you grow. Say it again. Appetites determine attitude. Attitude determines action. And action determines altitude, how much we grow. It all starts with appetites. What are you feeding? Amen. Thirdly, forsaking, feeding. Thirdly, go to verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says there in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Forsaking, feeding, number three, following. Following. Did you have childhood heroes? I did. Amen. I liked Superman. He could leap tall buildings in a single bound, and he fought for truth, justice, and the American way. I was into that. Amen. I liked Karl Yastrzemski when I was a kid. Why? Because he was Polish and he was good. Amen. That's why we liked him at our house. See, us Polish people always got picked on, you know, with all the dumb jokes. You know, how do you get a one-armed Polish person out of a tree? You wave at him, amen. I mean, I've heard them all. Heard them all. So when Karl Yastrzemski came around, he's the last Triple Crown winner. Boy, he was a hero. You know, when you're a hero, when you're a kid, firemen are your heroes. Amen? Yeah, boy, you want to be a fireman. But you know what? Childhood heroes fade, don't they? Well, you may have some current heroes. I would tell you, young people up here, you know your mom and dad ought to be your heroes. It's okay to say amen. Your mom and dad ought to be your heroes. Listen, the sacrifices that they make for you, you will never know on this side of eternity. And they don't feed you and clothe you because they hate you. Amen? Boy, your mom and dad ought to be your heroes. Boy, there's other people in our lives we could look at. Maybe the one who led you to Christ is your hero. But you know, I've learned something. While childhood heroes fade, current heroes sometimes fail, don't they? I know men that the men that led them to Christ is no longer in the ministry anymore. Doesn't even go to church anymore. But you know, there's one hero that never lets us down. He's a forever hero. And it's found back there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. You know, it's okay to have childhood heroes, and it's certainly okay to look up to people, but you know who we're really supposed to be? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're not only to be forsaking some things, we're not only to be feeding, but we're to be following Jesus. Following Jesus. He's the real hero. He's the one we should look to and follow. So just a couple questions in closing. And listen, answer honestly, do you desire to grow? Do you desire to grow and become more like Jesus? Do you? Do you tonight? I mean, do you desire to grow? Or here's the question. Are there some things maybe that you need to forsake? Maybe some things in your life that just gotta go. Maybe some of those childish things. You know, I don't know if it's a spiritual binky or blanky or bear or book, whatever it is. Listen, you do well to just get rid of it. It's gonna hinder you. It's gonna hinder you from growing. How about what are you feeding on? Are you feeding on the Word of God, spiritual things, or are you always feeding your flesh? If you're always feeding your flesh, you're going to constantly live in that cycle like in the book of Judges. Amen. The book of Judges, they got oppressed. They called out to God. They repented. God saved them. And then you know what they did? They fell right back into sin. It was this vicious circle in the book. You don't want your Christian life to be in the rat wheel. Amen. Amen. You want to just be growing. So it may take some forsaking. What are you feeding on? And then who are you following? Are you following Jesus? Are you trying? And listen, I say trying, because following in His steps is following in some pretty big shoes. Amen. But are you trying to each day read the Word and have prayer and have communion with Him and encourage somebody along the way and tell people about Jesus? Follow Him. Following. Forsaking. And feeding. Guidelines for growth. Father, we do love You. And God, I thank You for Your Word.